United We Stand has been a phrase used most recently in our nation's history to strengthen national unity against terrorism. It has been used to gather the support of citizens for what has been going on in Iraq. Paul in our text urges Christians to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He would have the Christians of his day say, "United we stand," to various factions and false teachings that were creeping into the church. Unlike nationalistic calls to stand united, to gather arms in support of a national cause, we can understand Paul's call in two ways. We can understand Paul's urgent cry for the faithful as a call to work toward unity and peace. We could understand from Paul that by being completely humble and gentle, patient and tolerant, and by bearing with one another in love, we maintain the peace and unity of the brotherhood of Christ. So it is today that many Christians believe that by being gentle and humble and patient and tolerant and bearing with one another, that peace and unity will be achieved if they only work hard at it. It is the agenda of today's society to encourage tolerance and patience, particularly, let's say, on issues of abortion and homosexuality. Tolerance and patience are required as part of this agenda so that offense is not given and peace and unity may be maintained by allowing marginalized portions of society into its mainstream. Traditional values are thrown to the wind in order to maintain peace and unity as a facade. I use these only by way of example of the many things that go on in society to try to keep peace, unity, non-discrimination. In the church, however, things are no different. Ecumenical movements seek to restructure the church to live as one in peace by ignoring certain differences as unimportant, much in the same way as secular society. Unity and peace are sought at the expense of basic doctrines in Scripture. Christians are more and more tolerant of others' views on scriptural matters, admitting that diversity exists, but that these doctrinal differences should not interfere with unity and peace. Denominational differences are seen as barriers to overall witness of the church as one body in Christ. Understanding Paul's words as an urgent request for us to maintain peace and unity at all costs places the burdens on us if we read it in this way. In other words, Paul's word can strike us as law in this passage if we understand them to speak to something that we need to do in order to establish or maintain peace and unity. These verses speak to what mankind has been unable to do since creation: the inability to live in peace and unity. Establishing unity and peace does not come about by following a plan of being humble and gentle, tolerant and patient, and bearing with one another. The Ten Commandments clearly show us our inability to love the neighbor as ourself. Being humble and gentle and tolerant and patient is not going to make us love our neighbor as ourself. Without a firm foundation or value system, people are ignoring the fact that there are directions that our society is taking that are sinful. But there is a gospel way of reading Paul also, and I believe we can find this reading in Paul's opening statement. These words set the stage on how this verse is to be understood. Paul says, "Live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Perhaps we should understand this word worthy in the light of its similar use and meaning in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about being found worthy to take the Lord's Supper. In this case, worthiness is not found in human merit. Being worthy in Corinthians means the worthiness given by the Holy Spirit through faith. It is the Holy Spirit that has made us worthy. Worthiness, then, is to be found in faith. And this faith is given through the calling of our Lord in holy baptism through water and his word. Through these waters we were called out of the world to be separate from it, to live in his heavenly kingdom. This verse in Ephesians could perhaps better be understood I urge you to live your life grounded in that faith you received in baptism. It is God's word, Christ, that is the ground for unity and peace in which Paul urges Christians to have faith and to live. It is maintained through the preaching and teaching of God, of the Word of God and the sacraments. In other words, unity and peace are gifts from God to the church through Jesus Christ. Peace and unity were achieved only through the work of Christ. There here is no call for tolerance to diversity in order to establish peace. It was, after all, God in Christ who was patient and humble, gentle, and bearing with your and my burdens all the way to the cross. It was there where our peace and unity were established forever. Patience, gentleness, humility, and bearing burdens are likewise not found innately in the pastor or teacher. They are, in fact, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and a part of faith. This is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in the lives of his children. These qualities come part and parcel with unity and peace as ways in which the people of God walk daily. There is, as Paul says, only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body and one Spirit, one God and Father of us all. So where Christ is not preached, where his sacraments are not administered, where there is no caring for the saints going on, there is no unity, no peace, no Christ, no Father, no baptism, no faith, and skewed concepts of patience, gentleness, and bearing one another's burdens. But where there is preaching and teaching of Christ, the law and the gospel, there is also baptism, forgiveness, peace, and unity. It is through the preaching and teaching of his word that God preserves this peace and unity. Faithful preaching and teaching of that word is the preaching of the cross of Christ as we live in the waters of our calling in baptism. For pastors and teachers, Paul urges, therefore, to be patient in bringing people to the knowledge of their errant ways, showing them that there is one Lord and Savior. This is maintaining unity and peace in the body of Christ. Pastors and teachers are to be humble and gentle in reproving and chastising God's people on their journey through life, first with law, then with gospel. Only like this will peace and unity be preserved. Pastors and teachers are to bear the burdens of their flocks, walk by their side, lead them in times of darkness, clarifying the difference between what the world would see as correct and what God's word says is so. Standing in unity and peace, therefore, begins with the confession of the church in Jesus Christ. God has made us one in Christ and given us peace through the death and resurrection of his Son. To preserve this, he has given us his word and is maintained through the correct teaching of it. To preserve this as well, he has given us his sacraments, the visible gospel, and his gifts of unity and peace, as these unite us with all of those saints who have gone before and those who will come after us in one united body. May God grant us all faithfulness to our calling in baptism, to the peace and unity which is ours in Christ Jesus, maintained through the patient, gentle, and humble teaching of his work on the cross. Amen.